Now, people call up this show and dog out teachers, right? It is rare that they call up and say, Mr. Brown, there, I want to tell you about a great teacher. That's rare. That's almost as rare as talking to a deadbeat dad, which we never get to talk to because the deadbeat dads don't call. But we know there are great teachers in Pike and Perry and Hamilton Southeastern and the charter schools. But we also know there are some great and outstanding teachers in the Indianapolis Public Schools. Yes, I said it, the Indianapolis Public Schools. And now there is going to be an opportunity for you, those of you that are listening, if you are a parent or a grandparent of an IPS student, or you work in IPS and you know of a great teacher that is in the classroom doing it to death and helping our kids, there's an opportunity to recognize them in the house. We have the superintendent of IPS, Dr. Lewis Farabee, and we've got two Indianapolis residents. One Indianapolis resident. He's a longtime resident, longtime champion of education. His name is Al Hubbard. He's a successful business person. So successful he was able to take a pay cut and go work for the people of the United States, work for a couple of American presidents. Not just in a regional office, he was in the West Wing. The real West Wing. He could tell me, you know, how oval is the real Oval Office. Al Hubbard, and they announced this morning something that is going to recognize life-changing teachers. Guys, welcome.
Delighted to be here.
So how did this all come about?
Well, about 5 months ago, my wife and I were reading a Matt Tully column about John Marshall High School and the senior class right before graduation. And in one section of the article, Matt talks about this teacher. And the incredible impact she had in turning around a kid's life. Mm. And then he had quotes from the kid about what this teacher had meant to him and how she came in, and she was the first one that basically stood up to him and told his football coach he should be benched until he got his grades up, and called the kid's grandmother all the time to make sure he was doing his homework. And this kid says it's because of her that he turned his life around. He's now, he graduated, and he's now at Indiana State studying accounting. And it made my wife and me realize that even in the most troubled school, there are great teachers. And those teachers are working hard to turn kids' lives around. And yet they get no recognition, no rewards. And so we decided that we would fund four awards each year at $25,000 each.
Ooh.
For four teachers. Mm. Who have turned, and to qualify, you've got to have turned at least one life around, and you have to be an excellent teacher. You have to, you know, in the academic world, you have to, your students have to do well. And, you know, our expectation and hope is there are many of those out there, and we look forward to participating in the review process. And the six finalists, the six semifinalists, the ones who were the runner-ups, will get $1,000 each. And then we're going to have a banquet. On May 28th, Amos, I hope you'll be there at the Idle George Museum to honor these teachers.
Superintendent, how important is this for IPS, for the district as a whole, for your teachers, and for the entire IPS family?
Very important. You know, it's been touched on several times in our discussion that oftentimes education is a thankless profession. And because we have been challenged in many cases with not achieving at the level that we would expect, many times the work of our teacher goes unnoticed. And so this is an amazing opportunity to empower the community, to say thank you to our teachers, many of which who work tirelessly to support the young people in our community and are truly changing lives and sowing into the young people in our community. I'm extremely grateful on behalf of IPS to the Hubbard family for their donation. Also, it's important to note that we have George Hill, who has agreed to promote the nomination process and the awards. And this is exciting for us because he's an IPS Hall of Famer and also a Broad Ripple High School graduate. And so, this is very exciting for us.
Speaking of George Hill, he has put a PSA together. Let's take a listen to what George Hill, what you'll be hearing George Hill say about this effort to recognize life-changing teachers in IPS.
I'm George Hill with the Indiana Pacers and a proud IPS alum. I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for IPS teachers. One teacher really went the extra mile after I missed school with pneumonia. She worked with me every day to help me graduate. We all know teachers like that. Now you can thank an IPS teacher by nominating one for a Hubbard Life Changing Teacher Award and the chance to win $25,000. Nominate an IPS teacher today at teacheraward.org.
Now I understand that George Hill had not met that teacher, had not seen that teacher from Broad Ripple in a while. I guess she hadn't been to a Pacer game yet.
Well, what happened was after George graduated, and he will tell you the only reason he graduated is because she stayed after him mm-hmm. and worked with him to make sure he was getting his you know, completing
right.
his courses.
Right.
After that, he said he lost track of her mm-hmm. and he did not know where she was. He had not seen her. And the folks at United Way, they started looking for her. I'm sure they did it through IPS and she changed her name to Mrs. Avery, and mm-hmm. she's now teaching. Where is she teaching? At Northwest, I think.
Yes, correct.
She's still in IPS.
Still in IPS.
Okay. But she's now at Northwest. So mm-hmm. we had her at this press conference, and George said, you know, I haven't seen Mrs. I think her name was Ms. Bacharach. I have not seen her since I graduated, and I don't know where she is.
And here comes the reveal.
Da-da-da-da. Yeah, that's exactly. And you should see, there were tears in George's eyes and tears in her eyes, and they hugged and hugged and hugged. It was so special.
And this is part of what this is all about, Superintendent. You don't know, students don't know the impact the teachers have, and teachers sometimes don't know the impact they have.
Absolutely. And one of the things we're encouraging is that if we have graduates out there, because a lot of times you don't realize how important a teacher was until you get out. So you think he or she is being mean or, you know, forcing themselves upon you to do what you're supposed to do in the classroom. But then when you graduate and you realize, wow, this person really cared about me and really put a lot into me in terms of making sure that I was successful as a student. And so we want to hear from our graduates and our current families and people in the community just to, again, recognize the teachers that are raising expectations and standards for our students on a daily basis. And as you know, Amos, many of our teachers do more than just what's on the blackboard and what's in the textbook. They provide inspiration, affirmation, and confirmation and encourage our young people on a daily basis.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. We're with Al Hubbard. He and his wife have created the Hubbard Prize for life-changing teachers. Usually when somebody creates a prize, it's like for scientists and it's for, you know, big people worldwide. This is a prize for life-changing IPS teachers, and you'll be able to nominate. You can start now. They got a special website that is, is called teacheraward.org, teacheraward.org. You can get a nomination, or just go to any library branch
right.
and get an old-fashioned paper nomination. So if you can't do the high tech, you can do the low tech. Go to any library branch. 239-1310. 239-1310. That's Afternoons with Amos. So now, Al Hubbard, what would your former boss and more importantly, the former librarian or former first lady, what would they have to say about this?
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. And particularly, Laura being a librarian. Oh, they listen, George Bush and Laura. I know George. I know President Bush. I don't call him George anymore. Mr. President, I know him very well, and he has a huge heart. And he would say this is very special, and what a great idea. He as president, was committed to raising the standards for all our schools mm-hmm. and reaching out to all kids, because his belief is that every kid in America can be successful in school. We just need to provide them with the right opportunity.
So maybe when the former First Lady comes here, because she's going to be a part of the Celebration of Diversity lecture series this winter.
Oh, really?
Up at Butler University.
Right.
So maybe Maybe she'll come. Maybe she'll come to cut a PSA or something and say, "Hey, I support the Hubbard Prize."
I like that. I'll have to look into that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, 239-1310, 239-1310. Superintendent, while I got you here, kind of update some things. We had two schools early this morning that didn't have power, and I understand one's got power and one doesn't. Where are we?
Right. So we had two schools: school 54 and 48. Two of our elementary schools. One school, 48, was moved to Shortridge High School this morning when we discovered that there was no power there. We also moved students from School 54 to Arsenal Tech. Right now, we're being told that there is power at School 48, so we will be transitioning those students from Shortridge back to their home base school, and then they'll be provided transportation home. We're still waiting to hear an update on School 54. I did have an opportunity to go out to the high schools and make sure that our babies were being well taken care of. I was pleased with what I observed, and it will be a school day for those students. Maybe not in a traditional setting, but
there will be some learning going on.
Exactly.
You have been having, you're in your 100 days, you know, of fact finding and before you make recommendations on how to move IPS forward. You've been having a series of meetings. I understand last week you met with the school bus drivers, cafeteria, support staff. What was that all about?
It was family time. It was an opportunity for me to hear from our employees in terms of our opportunities for improvements, our impediments, but also share my expectations and just get to know the team a little bit better. It was a great opportunity for us to talk about what's going well in the district. What do they see as opportunities for improvement? And it's interesting. We talked about morale and opportunities for recognition of staff members. And so, you know, one of the bus drivers said, "Hey, we love some recognitions for bus drivers." So that's something that we're working on. And now we have this tremendous opportunity to recognize teachers. What I found is as we think about morale and this award that we're launching is that many of our employees just want to hear that their work is being recognized and that, you know, we appreciate what they do. And so we want to build on the Hubbard Award and just continue to uplift our employees across the district.
And I understand some of the drivers was offering suggestions.
They did.
On how to make things better.
They did. You know, one of the things that they share with me is that they want to be a part of what our students do inside the school building. So they believe that their job is not just to get students to and from school, but they want to be involved in enhancing the learning process as well. And so they gave some great suggestions along with our police officers who touch our children on a daily basis, also our school nutrition staff, right, in addition to our central services team. So it was a great opportunity to hear from them and for me to share my expectations.
You were downtown Saturday for the robotics. And I want you to know, those kids from Harshman that were here last week, they were off the hook. Now, you know, when Chris says they're off the hook, they're off the hook. I don't know how they did, but I understand you had a team from Arsenal Tech that was among the winning groups in this robotics competition that was down at the Fieldhouse.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. That opportunity with Mayor Ballard to provide opening remarks, see some of the competition on Saturday, go by the pits. And it's really amazing when you look behind the scenes of what students do to make those robots work. But we were very competitive. Majority of our high schools had teams represented, which is really exciting because that was not the case in previous years. And just want to thank the mayor for his vision for bringing VEX Robotics to the city, but also going to congratulate our students for representing us well.
And that's I know there were the coaches, and some of those coaches were classroom teachers. And Al Hubbard, that's kind of what we're talking about. It's not just things that a classroom teacher does inside the classroom. It is how they touch kids, whether it's through the extracurricular activities, or elsewhere.
Well, you know, what I learned once we read this article and we started talking to people about, mm-hmm, you know, these extraordinary teachers in IPS is these teachers go, you know, way beyond what's called for. Many of them, it's not unusual if a kid gets in a difficult situation at home that the kid will actually move in with the teacher, and the teacher will take him or her into his or her home.
Right.
And, I mean, they do, you know, just like with George Hill. George Hill said this Mrs. Avery kept calling him and meeting with him and making sure he was getting his work done.
Right.
And the other kid at John Marshall said Mrs. Cobb actually left John Marshall and went to another school, but she kept calling him, kept calling him to make sure he was doing what he was supposed to do. I mean, these teachers, it's not a, you know, whatever, 8:30 to 3:30 job. They, it's, many of them are really engaged 24/7 to make sure these kids who need them are in fact changing their lives and turning around and becoming great members of the community.
239-1310. 239-1310 with Superintendent Dr. Louis Farabee. We're with Al Hubbard of the Hubbard Prize now. Watch him duck this kind of question. See, I'm asked a question and watch how he ducks this. Now, while I was at the robotics, I actually went down the robotics and saw some of the robots and the IPS schools were there and others. Oh, and the folks from Harshman saw the young man and he wanted to know when he's coming back on the radio. So we must have touched him if he wants to come back on the radio. So I ran into the superintendent of public instruction, Glenda Ritz, and we got to talking and I said, Superintendent, did the grades go out to the schools? Because Friday was the deadline for the grades. She said, yes, they got out. By 5 o'clock, they're out. So that means somebody on your staff has probably looked at your A through F grades. You're not supposed to say it to the media because it's on embargo. How will you evaluate the grades in terms of making sure that the people calculating in the State Department of Education and the Legislative Services Agency did their job correctly? How are you in this period when you all and your staff can look at the grades, evaluate, were they done correctly? How are you going to use this time?
And so you're right. Grades were released Friday.
He saw them on Saturday morning. Too.
Well, yes, we've been studying and combing through the data. And yeah, the interesting thing about the letter grades is they fluctuate significantly.
From year to year. Fluctuations.
Yeah, across the state, I believe you will, because the growth factor that they use for this particular formula is very unique, and it creates a situation where school can move in and out of letter grades. But for us, the bottom line is you have to have 60% or higher proficiency really to be above a letter grade of F. If you make high growth, you could possibly get to a D if your proficiency is below 60%. So for our district, that is a major challenge for many of our schools. It's just getting over that 60% hump. I will tell you, based on the preliminary results I've seen, I anticipate that we'll have less schools that are designated as letter F, and we'll have more schools above the C level in terms of our performance. So that's exciting. But, you know, this is one of many factors I use to evaluate our performance. If you track our data over time, we've actually been increasing our proficiency and outperforming the state as you look at proficiency increases, which is another factor that I look at. So, you know, while we may not reach the bar of proficiency of 60%, many of our schools have made tremendous strides in bringing more students to proficiency or closer to it.
Does this give you additional tools as you work through your 100-day plan in terms of how you're going to move IPS forward?
Oh, yeah. It's one of many pieces of information, data points that I will use to inform my learning process. But again, if we just look at the letter grades, I think we'll miss an opportunity to really evaluate if we're growing all of our students, because the letter grades only reflect proficiency. Okay. And we have a lot of students that are above proficiency. So we want to make sure that they're growing. And then we have students that are also below proficiency.
And have you looked at the new format, which at least spreads it out? So instead of 4 points, it's 50 points, 60. But it's like a real grading system that you would, if you were writing a paper, you don't get like a 3, you get 60, 70, 80, 90.
Yeah, we did receive several of the superintendents here in Marion County did receive a brief update from Superintendent Ritz on the new model. Based on what was shared, I was pleased with the direction that we're moving in. I think it does account more for growth. And what was presented to us was that 60% of the letter grade would be based on growth, and then 40% would be proficiency, which is a distinct difference between the current model. And I think if we can continue to focus on growth, we can ensure that all of our students, whether they're above or below grade level, are realizing a year's worth of growth annually.
You settling in the job now?
Yes, sir. I'm out of boxes.
out of boxes.
I'm still relying on navigation, though, to get around the city.
You're still on the GPS?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. He's the new superintendent. But more importantly, do you know a teacher in IPS who has changed a life, turned a kid or two or three or a whole classroom around? IPS wants to know, because the four teachers that do this, four, uno, dos, tres, cuatro, four, will get a $25,000 prize. No joke. 25, not 25 split among four, 25 each, Al Hubbard, right?
That's exactly
That's
right.
That's the Hubbard prize. And then the finalists, like the semi finalists, they get a grand each. So it'll be a total of 10 teachers lifted up. But here's the deal. You may know the best teacher, but if you don't nominate them, you can't win. You can't get an Oscar if you're not nominated. You can't get an Emmy if you're not nominated. You can't get a Tony Award if you're not nominated. You can't get a Marconi if you're not nominated. So here's how you nominate. They got a special website. The website is teachersaward.org. It's open right now. Teachersaward.org. Or go to the library nearest you. Go to a branch of the Indianapolis Marion County Public Library. Pick up the form. Fill out the form, and it'll tell you where to mail. Invest in a stamp, mail it back, or go to Teacher Award. And the nominations, you may not live in IPS, but you may know of an IPS teacher who has turned somebody around. It could be an IPS teacher in your church, in your fraternity, in your sorority, in order to do that. So go to teachersaward.org. Or go to any Indianapolis Marion County Public Library. And, you know, the United Way, I know they did the TV spot with George Hill because the Pacers own a TV station down, you know, because they got this a whole TV studio down at the Fieldhouse. And I said, wait a minute now, that's television. You know, a lot of people at IPS listen to the radio. They listen to Hot 96.3. They listen to the TLC 106.7. And every now and then somebody listens to me. So I want to tell both Al Hubbard and Superintendent Farabee that Radio 1 Indianapolis, starting the latter part of this week, will run the George Hill PSA along with our announcers, reinforcing that and encourage people to go to teacheraward.org or pick up the form at the library so that we can make sure that the community knows about this. So that we can make sure that the best are identified. So whoever's on the selection committee, y'all gonna have a rough job, to win the first Hubbard prizes.
And Amos, we're also working towards having nomination forms at the school and making technology available to families in the community if they want to come to a school. To nominate a teacher as well.
So if they're in the school, you know, for checking on the grade day, right, or if they're in the school for a basketball game or middle school, they can use the computer and nominate a teacher right there.
Yeah, we're working towards to make that available to families. We want to make sure that we get an opportunity to touch as many people as possible.
All right. Again, it is teacheraward.org. Or go to the Marion County Public Library, get a paper nomination, and as soon as the superintendent's people tell me, you can go to your favorite IPS school and do the same thing. We'll add that on the PSA, Al Hubbard, with the Hubbard Prize. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, thank you. This has been fun.
And Superintendent Farabee, always good to see you.
Thank you, sir.